Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome to On Fire to Inspire with your host, Miss On Fire to Inspire herself, Aaliyah Butler. I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. I tell you, we have a great, great show in store for you. But before we get started on that, I just want to share with you that I'm grateful, how grateful I am for you joining us, because many of us wear so many hats. And so we have so many things that we could be doing, but I just want to take the time out for honoring you for taking the time out to spend with us. So thank you again for joining us on Fire to Inspire tonight. Well, I want to take a quick moment and pause for our sponsors. Our sponsors tonight are Ms. Alexandra Townsend, and she is the author of Experiencing the Greatness of God in the Spiritual Realm. And that book is an awesome, awesome read. It's talking about how God delivered her son from alcoholism for over a decade of abuse to alcoholism. So we thank God for her. We also thank God for Third Heaven Sound, where it's not just music, it's a sound. And that is the owner and operator of it is Vincent Lynch. And then we also have Print Tara is one of our newest ones for the month. And Print Tara has everything to take care of your printing needs, from postcards to any type of your printing needs. They can take care of it. They also have videography. They have photography and just all kind of packages. They're Print Tara, printara.com. They will take care of you as well. And then also finally, Unique Expression by Design. They can take care of all your custom needs. If you need customized pens, mugs, things of that nature, t-shirts, whatever it is for your business or personal needs, they have you. They just got you. So just let them know you heard it on Fire to Inspire, and they will take care of you. Well, we want to welcome you back to On Fire to Inspire with your host, Ms. Aaliyah Butler, Ms. On Fire to Inspire herself. And we have a topic tonight of empowering, igniting, and fulfilling your purpose. Now, I tell you each and every week, it's time to stop existing and start living the life that God has called you to live. So there's greatness on the inside of you. So it's time to tap into that greatness and walk in it. I'm so very excited tonight to have our guest tonight. She is an awesome, awesome, powerful woman of God. She's not religious. She's a kingdom citizen and understands her assignment. So we'd like to welcome Ms. Kimley Whiteside. Welcome, welcome, welcome to All Five Inspired Woman of God.
Hello, hello. God bless. Thank you so, so very much for having me.
You are so welcome, welcome, welcome. I tell you, I'm excited because it's so funny. My pastor said a lot of times when you find people who have your spirit, you say, oh, that's my kind, you know. So I'm glad to have someone with that's my kind on the line. And thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule and joining us. So we're going to jump right in tonight. And we're going to ask you, tell us, who is Ms. Kimley Whiteside? Who is Kimley Whiteside?
Well, good evening to all the wonderful people that really took their time out tonight in order to tune in for this wonderful interview. I'm really honored that most of you were able to take the time out of your schedule as well. And for those who don't know me, I am Kimley Whiteside, and I'm a child of the King, the Most High God. Basically, I'm from the Republic of Panama, so I am Spanish, Panamanian, and it's been a true journey with my life. for many people, I am just a normal individual like everybody else, but has a lot of hats. I wear a whole lot of hats, and I have a lot of assignments. But I thank God that he had allowed me to be a great mentor to people, also a great coach. Also, I do a lot of speaking. I am a pastor. I preach also the gospel. I minister to those, evangelize to those, and everything that has to be done with the movement of what God is doing in our lives. That's really who I am. I don't label myself into the many things that I am or do because, first of all, I'm a child of God. So whatever he assigns me to do, that's where I will be. So I just want to let others know that if they want to relate to me, they can always see me as their brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen, amen. I tell you, you have so many hats that you wear. I know I wear many hats. You are an author, a preacher, a life coach, inspirational, and motivational speaker. At what point did you start walking in your purpose? What was your turning point of, I'm no longer going to just do what I'm doing, I'm going to do what God called me to?
Well, a couple years ago, I was told since I was a kid, basically, that one day I will be able to minister the gospel. And I never even understood that, because when you're a child, you really don't get all that. You just listen to people say it, but you're like, okay. So it took a couple years into understanding really what the purpose of God of my life was. So I will say maybe 5 years ago or so, I was able to officially respond to the call of God over my life, where he vividly and specifically spoke into my life and gave me specific directions and instructions on what he wanted me to do and the assignment he had over my life. At first, I must admit, I denied it many times. Every time he came, he kept, you know, approaching it in a way that I was still rejecting it. So I needed to understand why he was calling me out of all people. Not because, you know, I didn't think that I would be good or qualified. I just didn't think that was something I wanted to pursue, because I already had my career. I had went to school and college for project management, so I have my master's in that. So when you're actually fulfilled with your career, you're not thinking of ministry because you already feel like that's what you're supposed to do. But when God turned that around and chose me to do the ministry and to really call me, he had to do a lot of things in that period of time, which was removing things, losing things. It was, you know, things and people. It was like he was removing out of my life a lot of things that you're passionate about and you love, and even the people surrounding you. And then I started to realize that he was like saying, I'm really speaking to you. Stop rejecting what I'm saying. So one day I actually woke up and the Spirit of God came clearly to my ear, and he spoke it to my ear and said, if you will not fulfill the purpose I have over your life, I will not fulfill your destiny.
Wow.
That hit me very, it hit me absolutely very, very hard. At that very moment, I contacted my husband, who was downstairs, and I was upstairs at the moment, and I said, you know, I've been hearing God say these things to me in the past, and I've always rejected it. And then this time around, it was different. And he said, how so? And I said, it was very, very different. It was like he was standing right next to me, literally speaking it. And I couldn't say no at that moment. I immediately said, yes, Lord, I will answer to your call. So that moment, I knew it had to be really what God was asking me to do. And then things just began to unfold. My life just began to evolve. And purpose just began to be fulfilled.
Yes. Amen, amen. I know many times there is like an awakening that takes place for many of us when we're getting ready to walk into our purpose. Or, you know, there for some women, they hit a certain age group, especially if they're not doing what they're called to do. And I tell people all the time, I hit 35 and it was like, okay, God, I like my life, but there's something missing. You know, I enjoyed what I did, but it wasn't it wasn't for me anymore. I know that season had ended. I had been in IT for a long time, and, you know, I knew that that wasn't it. And so did you experience anything like that at a certain age bracket? You were like,
Yes, absolutely. When I went to pursue the things that I wanted to pursue, I had a great passion for all that, and I loved it, and I still love what I do. My career is very successful and great, and I love it. But purpose and your career are two different things, and I really did not understand it. A lot of people think that when they have their career, that's all they have and that's okay. And it may be for many people. But when you're being fulfilled with purpose and destiny, it's a whole different concept. So I figured, you know, God will have to show me how to fulfill my purpose, how to fulfill the destiny he had aligned for me. And the only way that had to happen was literally guiding me through the journey of what I was doing, and also allowing me to experience a lot of things so that I will be able to interact with others and give other people the ability of knowing that what I went through, it wasn't just me speaking it, but I'm actually the one who experienced it. And that was very important to me, because I do know that you got a lot of people that do speaking engagements and they're speakers and they're preachers and all that. But I didn't feel comfortable at that very moment if I was going to minister to someone who was on drugs or alcohol. If I never experienced that, I didn't want you to look at me and feel like I wasn't good enough to speak to you, because sometimes people can take it that way. Some people don't experience some of the things, but they want to talk about it. So I had to understand that if I'm going to be about purpose, I want to experience what it is that I'm going to speak about to other people, not that everything I will experience and go through, I will speak to people of things that I didn't even think they will go through, but I wouldn't put myself in a place where I will give you that, you know, some people talk to you in a way like, yeah, I want you to know that you got to stop alcohol, you got to stop the drugs, and you never been through it. I don't want to come across people in that manner. I want to explain to them how I know about it, because I lived it with whoever, with my mom or with a friend. You know, different things like that you want to address with people, and that's how you basically understand purpose. You have to know that what you're going through is helping somebody else. And if you didn't go through it, don't assume you did, because that's basically allowing that person to be in a confusion state of mind.
Yes. Wow. Now, you founded a ministry, and I don't want to massacre the name, so I would like for you to tell me the name and then tell me how you arrived at the title of the ministry, and, you know, what do you do with it?
Wow. The ministry is called Mahanaim Group Ministries. What my ministry does is that we basically are a virtual ministry. We don't have a church location or an establishment. We are virtual. So we do everything based on media, like, you know, television or radio, live webs and these different things. Our focus is to really allow people who are experiencing issues across the nation that they can actually communicate with us. Most people don't have a church home, or they don't have access to going to a home, to a church, like people in nursing homes or in the jails. So our ministry focuses on allowing people from all abroad to know that if they're in need of someone who can assist them in the ministry that we do with rejection, abuse, isolation, abandonment, you know, domestic violence, and various issues, that we're here to basically assist them. They don't have to feel neglected. They don't have to feel isolated, and they don't have to feel like they don't have a way on getting someone that can relate to them on in the spiritual and in the natural. And the name of the ministry came from Genesis 32:2, where it speaks of the camping ground. And it was very much a revelation on the name of the ministry, writing my home office, where I was worshiping at that very moment, I had my stepmother who had came from Panama, and we were just worshiping God. And it so happened to be that the Holy Spirit was just moving in the room, and then all of a sudden the Word of God just opened up right there, because we were actually in fasting and praying for the ministry name. And that's how the Lord granted us the ministry name, because it was a camping ground, which is exactly what I wanted it to be, a camping ground for the people, a camping ground where you feel rejected but you have somewhere to turn. So God automatically positioned it and made it a way to see that that will be coming to fruition, and that's where we are today with the ministry.
Amen, amen. So I'm going to shift it just a little bit. Your bio, you shared with me a lot of things that you overcame, illness, things of that nature. I want you to share that with a person who is listening or who will listen to the recording and say, but you don't know what I've been through. You know, right now I'm going through this in my body, or I went through this and I went through that. I want you to dispel every excuse and dispel everything that could be counted as an excuse.
Absolutely. When I was in my 20s, I basically was told that I couldn't have children. And praise God that I have two beautiful girls, teenagers, 17 and 16, and God truly blessed me in order to have my children with my ex-husband. And we had the girls, and it was like a miracle to just be able to experience having the child, because I was told I couldn't have any. Then I developed cancer in my 30s, and the cancer that I developed, a lot of it I really didn't understand, because my mother passed away when I was 18 years old, so I really didn't know that something like this could happen to me, because I didn't understand at that point how certain things can be even transferable into generations after generations, or you develop them in time. You know, some people, it can skip a generation, but I was actually the only child from my mother's side. So when I developed the cancer, I didn't know at that moment how to react to all that, because I was so young, unexperienced with a lot of things that, you know, not knowing. I was not knowing of things that people could tell me about, I really didn't know. So I experienced a moment where my life had to take a total toll, because the stress level that I was under was causing me the actual cancer. So for anyone who's listening, when you are literally in a lot of stress, you have to take in consideration that your body is speaking to you. There are certain signs and things that you're going to experience with your body, and you will know for a fact there's a change of something going on. Make sure you check yourself. Make sure you go to the doctors and don't neglect it and just say, well, it's just stress, and because it's stress, I'm going to be okay. I'll take whatever medication to get it over. No, it wasn't like that. I literally did go to the doctors. When they found it, it spread it in like a matter of 2 weeks. And the doctor said, if we don't do something now, you're not going to be able to live. And my kids were very, very young at that time. I really had to turn to God even closer, even the more, because I had at some point drifted away from God. I just didn't believe anymore. My faith was just down because of church hurts and church issues, people sometimes being in the church, and I had to grow out of that. So my illnesses got worse and worse until the surgery came along, and then they were able to save me and basically not have any cancer. So I'm completely cancer-free, thank God, till this day. But then I developed, years after, the Lyme disease. That was something that I didn't even expect. But where I was living at the moment, we had a lot of woods, so the deers were always around. And I would have never thought anything of it, but I was living a whole year with a deer tick in my head. And it was damaging a lot of my circulations. It was damaging my vision. It was damaging my legs. I couldn't walk. I was almost paralyzed to the point that I needed constant help. So I had great neighbors that were always helping me to even, you know, get dressed. My kids were able to help me. It was really, really tough. So I was losing my vision. I wasn't able to walk. At some point, it was getting very difficult. I couldn't do a lot for myself. I had to turn to God even more. See, sometimes when God, when you're in God, because I was raised in the church, and when you drift away, you know, sometimes you don't really get to understand the deepness of things that you're going through, but God can turn things around in your life in such a way that your sicknesses and everything you experience are going to bring you back to where the real purpose is right back into God. So every single time I went through those illnesses, I gave glory to God for actually bringing me out of it. So today I'm healed. I could go into so many other things with anxiety and depression. For years I was taking medications. And there was only a day when I woke up and I prayed to God and I stopped taking the meds. The doctor said, "Are you sure?" I said, "I have to be sure because God is telling me it's time to stop. There's no way I can continue doing this." So believe it or not, where I am today is not because of my own strength. I've wanted to give up so many times. I tried suicide many times because I didn't want to live. I felt like not having the life that you dream of having sometimes is like not worth living. But when I found the Lord even more, I realized that God was healing me, God was restoring me, and he was really igniting my life in a way that I didn't even know till this day how he actually did it. I know it had to be him because I couldn't have done it by myself. So I encourage everyone who's out there, if you're struggling with anything, don't hesitate to have someone you can talk to. Sometimes you do need that. Sometimes you need to turn to someone who can guide you, who can help you, and you can avoid a whole lot of things if you actually just speak out, become bold about it, and allow someone to help you. Because at the moment, you don't really think someone can, but there are other people out here who really will be able to. So I do encourage anyone that if you're sick, God can heal you. He did it for me. If you're suffering with anxiety, depression, and suicidal thoughts, if he did it for me, I can guarantee you he can do it for you too.
Amen, amen. Now, you wrote a book. What's the title of that book?
My book is called Accepted, Secure, Significant, Empowering, Igniting, and Fulfilling Your Purpose. The book was published June of 2015, so it was last year, and it has been a tremendous impact into the lives of many people.
Amen. And what was your, what made you want to write it? What was your motivation to write it?
That's really interesting of a story, and I'm going to give you the short version of the story. It's amazing what God was doing in my life after I graduated from seminary and all these different things that I was doing. I was experiencing a situation with a court battle at that moment, and it was disappointing. Sometimes when you get a disappointment, you really go into a place of being isolated and you feel like, you know, God is not there for you. But I went through a battle for about a whole year. I already had other issues I was dealing with, like not having my father in my life, not knowing about my father. That was also a lot of, you know, turmoil for the years that I didn't know anything about him. And praying to God, my family, my aunts and my grandmother, well, my mom, because she's actually my mom, when they constantly prayed, constantly for years to find my father and to know about him, you know, God at his own time did it. But it's amazing how you're struggling with that situation of not having your father. Your mother died, then you're dealing with a court battle that was very unfairly done in a way that you don't even expect it coming, especially from someone you care and you love and you've had a great relationship with for over 15 years. So when you experience something like that, you don't know where to turn. So I came into my home office. All I could do was pray to God every night that I was sitting here compiling everything because I was representing myself. I couldn't afford an attorney. They had great attorneys, and, of course, they had the funds to do it, but I couldn't afford to do it. So So I prayed to God and I said, you're going to fight my battles because that's all I have. You're my Abba Father. You're the one that can handle this situation. Well, after the actual situation went off with the court battle, the judge pretty much denied every single thing that they wanted to do against me with suing me with the thousands of dollars. And it so happened to be that all the different things they were fighting for, the God just said, you know what, this is my child. You can't touch her. So he literally went into that courtroom. And when I tell you, that judge himself couldn't believe that I actually put this paperwork together because I'm not an attorney, but God was doing the battle fighting, and he was the one guiding me through how to do everything. And when I walked out of there and got that victory, I came home just, I was already writing things. I was already, you know, journaling different things. I did not understand why I was doing it. But after that battle is when the Spirit of God came upon me and said, you're going to write a book and it's going to be called Accepted, Secured, Significant, because you're accepted in me and I want you to know that. You're secured in me and I also want you to know that. And you're very significant to me. When I got those words, I immediately began to jot down, write, and in 7 months, I was able to complete the book and actually publish the book. And seven is the number of completion.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't, it was, everything is like a miracle. And because God said, I am your Abba Father, I am the one that's going to walk you through this journey of your life, and you just got to trust me. So when I began writing this book and putting all this in perspective, I was going through a very difficult, disappointing moment. And only God was able to heal me. He was the only one who was able to walk me through it. So that's how the book came about. I was in a very disappointing stage. And because of that disappointment, the book came to life.
Amen. You know, it's something else how he can take something that you thought was going to take you out, and he took it. He took that very thing and made it to elevate you, to promote you, to take you to the next level where he wanted you to be. You know, the enemy meant it for your bad, but God said, I'm going to turn it out for your good. And, I just love hearing those type of testimonies. I just love it. So tell me this. If you have a person listening tonight, whether they're listening live or they're listening through the recording, and they're like, I'm tired of sitting on my gifts. I'm ready to be empowered. I'm ready to ignite what God has on the inside of me. I'm ready to fulfill my purpose. What words would you give that person at this time?
Well, because I didn't understand what purpose was really about, the first thing is to understand what purpose is about. And if you can't understand it, you got to pray to God to show you what is it that you are on this earth for. I knew for me, it was definitely to empower people, ignite them, and fulfilling them with their dreams and goals because he did it for me. The experiences of my life helped me to do that with other people. However, don't go into feeling like because you're not qualified enough or you don't have a degree or you don't have this or that you can't fulfill things in your life. Fulfillment with purpose has nothing to do with credentials. It's helpful, and it's very helpful that people have that under their belt because God prepared me in that way. But it's not everybody that's going to have to do that. Some people have to understand that the passion they have in their heart, even if you want to go to nursing homes and you want to attend to the elderly and that's something you like to do, you can do that without having to do a whole lot of different things to get there. It's simple. It really requires just timing and research so that you can have a letter written out to the nursing home and pretty much say, you know what, I would love to volunteer my time. There's so many things you can do to fulfill the things you have a passion for. If you have a passion for children, if you have a passion for certain things, purpose has to have a foundation of a passion. You got to love with all your heart what you desire to do, especially if you know that's something you like. If you love to cook, you can do that. You don't have to wait until you have a restaurant to start cooking and fulfilling purpose for people that you know are in need. There's so many things people can do, But I think people get intimidated by the fact that they see so much commercialized stuff out there, and they think that your name's got to be all big and you got to be on these different channels and these different things in order to feel like you fulfilled something. And that's great for what God has for that individual. But for yourself, don't put yourself in that category. Don't allow yourself to be blocked from your blessing because of the things you see other people achieving, because it took them that long to get there as well. You just don't know the ins and outs of what they've dealt with. So don't let that stop you from fulfilling your desire of your heart. Don't allow it to put you in a place where you feel like you're not doing anything. There's plenty to do, and there's plenty that God wants us to do, but the intimidation of society and media and all the different things will make you feel like you're really not doing anything or you're not accomplishing anything. So don't get upset about yourself feeling like you're X amount of years old, because I hear that at times. Well, I think I'm getting too old to do this. No, you're not. There are people in the Bible who are 99 years old and in their 90s, and even that, even having babies. I mean, that was incredible alone. So you can do the same thing. God did not limit people into fulfilling their purpose with a certain age bracket or a certain race or anything like that. So we should take that same example and apply it into our lives and not be fearful of not being able to pursue it. We actually can do it, and we will fulfill them if we turn to God first.
Amen, amen. You were healed of a lot of things, some mental, emotional, some physical ailments. When did you find that when you released that all over and turned it over to God, that you were more fruitful when you walked in complete and divine healing?
Absolutely. Turning things over to God is not easy. It's not easy for any one of us because we are not created to really be that way. We have to grow into turning things over to God. And when we grow into it, we become free. And one of the things that most of us will do is that we want to take control over the situations because we're humans, and we're going to be that way. But we have to understand that God wants us to be in a place where everything he has ordained for your life to be, including the things that you're going through, is because you're going through a season in your life that's going to bring you out of it and bring you into something greater. The moment you see yourself in that place of thinking that, you know, I don't know if I can handle this or I don't know if I can do this, and you turn it over to God and say, God, I'm leaving it in your hands for you to heal me. I'm leaving it in your hands for you to do this for me. But in the meantime, I'm going to go to my doctor's appointments. In the meantime, I'm going to eat better. In the meantime, I'm going to do whatever is necessary to be healed. See, he doesn't just do it just because you ask. He wants you to do some work also. And some of us have so many habits that we pray to God about so many things we want, but we don't do our part. So when we leave things to God, it's not just say, I'm going to leave it to him because I want to. God also is showing you that there's something you have to do, whether it's, you know, releasing somebody out of your life, whether it's stopping a bad habit or stopping to doing things that you're not supposed to do. So he positions issues so that you can actually turn to him. And that's actually the principle of why we leave things into his hands, because he wants us to release it, including the things that we want to take possession and control with. So I do believe that everything I did was because I grew into it. It took me a while to get to that place where I just turn everything to God. Now I can easily do that because I know how he operates in my life. And I know the system will work with me. So you got to really know that relationship with you and the Lord in order to know for a fact how you want to allow him to do the things that he should do for your life.
Amen, amen. Tell me, how can people contact you? How can they follow you? How can they book you? To want the listeners to hear that.
My book is on my website on KemleeWhiteside.com, and you can get it as an ebook. You can also get it as a hard copy. And you just go to KimberlyWeinstein.com. You'll be able to see the website and read all about what's going on. There are various things going on. I'll be doing a lot of touring and traveling throughout the year. I will also be doing a whole lot of other projects with conferences and so forth. So there's a lot going on. And the beauty of it is that people have access to pretty much going to the website, finding about the book, ordering the book. But you also have the access of going to Facebook and find me on Facebook by Kim Lee Whiteside. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Google+, on Blab. There's so many different channels of social media, and you can find me in pretty much all of the social media outlets. One thing that I love is connecting with people, because I do believe the passion I have for people is not just to show you that I am just in the atmosphere of the social aspect, but I want you to know that you can have a relationship with me. It's not just saying I'm going to show up and appear, but I want to develop relationships with people, because people need to have assurance that someone is there for them.
Thank you for that. I'm being led to open up the lines. We're going to see if they're going to be shy tonight, okay? If you have a question, all right. If you have a question for Kim Lee or myself, press 1. You can ask a question, or you can actually have a comment that you would like to say. Press 1. We'll bring you on live with us. Don't be intimidated. Please ask a question. There is no such thing as a dumb question. If there's something on your heart, please ask. What'd you say?
They can go ahead and ask any questions. I'm ready.
Any questions. Press 1 now. We'll bring you on. Because you'd be surprised. You probably have the question that someone else has, and they don't want to ask it. So you go ahead and step up and ask the question so you can get an answer for you and them. I tell you. I was actually a guest on one show last night called Tap In, and the topic was you're already qualified. And I tell you, when she said that, it made me think about some of the things you were saying just a few moments ago, how people feel like they get intimidated about, well, I don't have this degree and I don't have that degree. But sometimes the Holy Spirit can prepare you for some things, because I didn't know anything about the radio, but I know what God said to do, and I did it. And so I just give God glory, because, let's see, today's the 8th. As of tomorrow, we will have been on the air for 15 months straight every week. And I give nobody credit but God, just doing what he say do. So I just thank God for that, because so many lives have been touched out of my reading. I thank God. And I wanted to say something. Thank you, thank you. One of the things I said last night was,
I think that's one of the problems with people not understanding how to go about doing things. And that's why I have the journeys on Mondays at 8 o'clock on Blab and Periscope. Oh, that's another social media, Periscope as well. See, I knew I was forgetting one. There are so many people that want to do things. They want to be active, or they have ideas, they have dreams, and they don't really know how to start out or how to go about it and what kind of direction they need to take. The journey is every Monday night at 8 o'clock, but it also is also something that we bring to the churches. It's also a process that we bring into institutions, corporations. What the journey does is that it prepares you for a 90-day process for you to have accountability, networking, and productivity. So what it means is that if you need an accountable partner, you can have an accountable partner that can help you and assist you through your own journey for 90 days. So it allows you to become successful in whatever you choose to do, even if it's minor. Like if you want to get out of debt and you feel like you want to pay off a bill, but you really don't know how to even go about certain things because you have so much on your plate. Sometimes when you have an accountability partner in your life, they can help you assist into getting to that place in 90 days, because you're going to have a plan, you're going to stick to it, and you're going to have an accountable partner who's going to tell you, don't go buy that coffee, don't go buy the dress, the shoes, and you literally have someone that's accountable for your actions, so you won't fall and go astray. So why we do the journey is so that people can become fulfilled with their lives in a way that they don't make excuses anymore. There's too many people making excuses that they don't have anybody they can count on. Well, the journey is here. You can count on the journey to help you because, you know, you will have an accountability partner, and we can assign you one, or you can get one, and we can work with you for the 90 days so that you can accomplish the goal that you want. And then you can also network with other people throughout the Monday nights that we have the journey. So if you're looking for business ideas and different plans and different things, there's so many entrepreneurs that come on the show every single session on Mondays, and they're being empowered just by connecting with someone else. So that's our part of networking, where people can network with one another, share ideas, share different experiences, testimonies. And then the productivity part of the journey is so that you can feel completely productive with the process of the 90 days. You're not going to walk out without being productive. It's a given. You're going to walk out knowing that you are productive, that you already fulfilled one part of your journey in your life. It's like having a bucket list. When you have your bucket list and you check off everything, you really want to check everything off. But there's always a process that you have to go through with each one of those checks that you have on your checklist. Everything has a process. So that's why we do the journeys. I really encourage people to invite people on Monday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time to be able to tune in for the sessions that we give. We just spoke about violating your trust yesterday, and it was very powerful to just be able to empower other people who were in need of hearing that word. So feel free to tune in also on that.
Yes, yes, yes. I tell you, that was my first time I was able to join your blab, and I know that I have been planning on nothing. Okay, Lord, don't let me forget. And I was able to join and share with some of my followers, and several of the ladies joined with me and were blessed. And several of them said you were speaking directly to situations that they had just encountered that day. And so they were so blessed by your obedience and doing what you were doing. And so I tell you, whoever, whether you're just joining us or you've been on all along or you're listening to the recording, it's time for you to stop sitting and settling, and it's time for you to start moving. And moving with the momentum that God has called you to. No more intimidation by anyone or anything. If it's in your heart to do it, do it. You got to start somewhere. Start with the research.
Amen.
Interview people who are doing what you desire to do. Interview them, you know. But you got to do something to move toward it. And don't say, oh, I'm 50 years old, I'm too old. Guess what? You're not. As long as you have breath in your body, there is purpose for you to fulfill. Don't you agree?
Exactly. And that's one of the things that is key. You can't focus on what someone else has already done and how they even got to the place they are, because their journey is not yours. So that, I think, because our minds are programmed to just see how people have been so successful, we automatically think, I want to be like that. I want to get to that. And if you stop having that idea or that kind of mindset, you will see that you can also do the same. Maybe not at the scale that they are, because it wasn't meant for you to be at that scale. See, sometimes we pray for things or ask for certain things we can't even handle. So we got to be very careful when God is positioning our purpose in life, is that we can actually handle all that, because it comes with a big package. You know, we are authors, so we are out there in the public eye all the time. We're ministering the gospel. So here we are in the public eye on a daily basis. People are watching, people are hearing, people are listening, paying attention to your moves. Everybody can't handle that. So when you're fulfilling your own purpose, you can't compare it to what I'm doing or what Alea is doing, because at the end of the day, what God gave you is only suitable for you. So when you understand that as a purpose in your life, you will become empowered, ignited, and fulfilled, because you're now doing it with the extent of understanding what you are in need of, not what you think you need. because God is only going to give you the things that you honestly need to fulfill it. He will never put you on a platform to speak to thousands of people if you're not a speaker. I mean, seriously. That's not how he operates. But we want to see where I'm going with that. It's like we want to do things and we want to project it into a certain box. We want to put it all in a box, you know, and say, oh, this is the way it's supposed to look. It's supposed to be painted in this picture. It's supposed to be this color. But if you stop putting yourself into that box, you will be surprised how God is going to fulfill everything that you desire as long as you stick with the plan that he gave you.
Yes. You know, I love to share testimonies because sometimes people can't truly understand it until they see that you're human. You know, they have to see your human side because they see where you are. They didn't see where you come from. You know, they are where you've been. So I tell people all the time, when God told me I had to do On Fire to Inspire, when I had to write the book, first of all, I tell him, no, Father, I'm a children's author. He said, come out of that box, because once you come out of that box, you're going to take me out of the box. He said, you are so much more than that, and I need you to see yourself the way I see you. And so for those of you listening, whether you're listening live or to the recording, take yourself out of the box, because God has such so much more for you. And it may not be packaged like someone else's, but I promise you, it's a specific package just for you. I promise you that. Amen.
For myself. Thank you, Lord. That was a word just for myself right there, because, you know, when you start doing these things and you're doing the promotions and you're going out and you're traveling, you're speaking, you're doing all these things, people see only the bigger picture. They really have no idea what you're going through behind the scenes, and they want to compare you with, you know, sometimes with what they want to do or even what other people are doing. And see, when God called me to do all this, I prayed so much to him. I said, Lord, please allow me to be me. I'm not trying to be like super this one and that one or whoever's already out there. I just want to be me. I just want to glorify your name just being me. Work with me so that I could just be who I am, just naturally transparent to people and just speak to them the way I speak to anybody else. I don't want to imitate nobody, portray nobody else. I just want to be Kimberly Whiteside. And if people understand who they are in that level, they will be able to fulfill whatever is necessary for them. God has an audience for everybody he's called to do what he positioned them to do. So don't look at the followings, and don't look at all the different people that have millions and thousands of followers and you only got like 500 or 5 or 6. I mean, that's important too. But if you focus on the fact that God is going to call the people and position people in your life that are going to be a part of your own audience, you won't have to be focusing on someone else's audience, because those are people that are going to be okay for that particular audience, for that particular speaker. So I've had to learn that for myself. I had to understand that, yes, God, you have an audience that's going to be able to impart with me and listen to me and also be able to walk this journey with me. And those are the people that will be blessed with my ministry, however and wherever they are. Everybody cannot be a part of what you do. You got your own audience. God has your own people to walk with you, to talk with you, to do this without you having to feel any kind of way about what anybody else is doing.
Amen. You know, one of the things that one of my friends and I were talking earlier today, I said it pays to be yourself. It pays to be yourself, because when you're being yourself, you're blessing people with just being you. You know, you're blessing people, but you're also being blessed by just being yourself. And your gift is going to make room for you just because you're being the humble you know how to be. You're not trying to put on airs to be someone else, but you're being who God created you to be. And that will open more doors than trying to put on airs to be someone you're not.
Absolutely. You are unique You're wonderfully made. You're beautifully made by the way God made you. And whatever gifts he gave you, talents he gave you, they're only for you. And you can only be the only person who can write it. If, you know, you, if you're playing an instrument, that's the instrument he gave you. He didn't give it to the person in your house next to you. He gave it to you. You know, sometimes we compare too much and we want to have so much, but we have to understand that whatever God has for you, it is for you. His word did not return void. I mean, he knows what he said. He knew what he was saying and doing. We just have to be obedient enough to follow it. It's simple, but we want to bring in other thoughts, other ideas, what if, maybe this, maybe that. And that's where our mindset gets to the point of being so rejecting what God has, because we want to bring in our own thoughts into the process. That's why I had to release so much stuff, because what God had to show me is that I have what I have for you and only for you, and no one can even take that away from you. I tell people all the time, everybody can take away whatever they can take away from you, your house, your cars, your whatever. They can do all that. But one thing they can take away is your knowledge, your wisdom, and your understanding. God is the only person that can do all that. So he will never put you in a place where you will not be secure, where you will not be accepted or significant in him.
Yes. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, I'm so excited about people actually waking up. You know, they're actually having this awakening, because I'm getting chats all the time. I'm getting text messages all the time. I'm getting calls all the time. Aaliyah, I tell you, I'm excited about, you know, sometimes when people just call you because they're excited about living, and that was not their story a while back, I tell you, it's beautiful. It is so beautiful. Here's someone that was talking with doom and gloom, and then now they're talking about being excited about who God has called them to be. That is huge for me, you know, because that means that I'm doing exactly what God has called me to. I don't give myself any kind of glory. I give him all the glory. I tell people all the time, On Friday Inspires his platform. I'm just a mouthpiece.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, yes.
That's
true.
That's very true. I completely understand that sometimes when people, like you said, you know, we have to stop comparing things and trying to do things in a way that other people are doing it. We just need to follow what God is saying.
Yes, yes, yes. Did you have any final words that you want to leave to the, you know, let me ask this one more time. Does anyone have any questions or comments? If so, press one. I don't want to leave anyone out. If you want to ask a question or just have a comment, I want you to press one now if you have a question or a comment. They're trying to be bashful again, Kimberly, so we're going to let them be bashful. But if you have anything that you'd like to leave with them, we actually have a person to press the thing, but we actually have a live caller. One moment, please. Welcome, welcome, welcome to On Friday Inspired with Aaliyah and Kimberly. Who do we have on the line with us?
It is Joyce White.
Hi, Joyce White. How are you, Miss Joyce? Miss Faith Walk. She has her own show called Faith Walk, Miss Joyce.
I'm good. How are you?
Great.
Wonderful. So glad to hear from you.
I definitely had to call in and just let you know, Kimberly, that you're still inspiring me. Everything that you said tonight has just set me back on fire to do what I need to do and to follow what God has told me to do and to stop letting my circumstances, you know, deter me. So I thank you so much, Kimberly, for what you've said tonight.
Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I'm very grateful that I can be that kind of vessel. Because we all need that vessel, that push, someone that we can actually relate and say, okay, if I know she did it, I can do it too, because we all are here for the same reasons, to really fulfill God's purpose over our life. And whenever he has it for us, he's not going to make us fail. So I'm honestly very appreciative of the fact that there are people who don't even know me, but yet can relate, and I can relate to them. And to me, that speaks volumes. I love to see that connection because we're all one body. And if we're one yes. body, that means if something is going on with you, that means it's affecting me. So I need to come up and step it up and say, you know what, let me go ahead and help my sister. Let me empower her. Let me encourage her. Let me do something that will help her, because if we're one body, I'm supposed to also do something about it. And that's what fulfills me entirely. I'm very grateful to God that he can allow me to come into people's lives and be that type of vessel for them.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Joyce, for those wonderful words. I am taking it in. I'm taking it in because I really need to hear that. You know, when I hear that, it really gives me the hope and it makes me stronger and it allows me to keep moving forward and not give up.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, Joyce. We truly appreciate you tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. And I'm enjoying On Fire to Inspire. Yes. Yeah.
And thank you so very much again. All right. Brother Kim, I have a chat that was sent to me. But sometimes we get questions through the chat. Sometimes we'll get them through the little post, the event. I have a chat that says, how do you recover from a heartbreak?
How do you recover from a heartbreak?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, that's a very difficult recovery, but it's not impossible. It's not impossible. One thing you have to understand about heartbreaks and different things, like I was speaking about violating your trust last night, and if you want to hear the recording, you can go back to YouTube and listen to the recording on violating your trust. That was specifically expressing how your space is very important to you. So whenever you allow people to come into your life, if they've done something wrong to you that has made you feel broken, you have complete authority to remove them from your space. And you have to mean it. You can't say someone broke your heart and you've been heartbroken, but you're still connecting. Because that's where the breaking point continues to be uplifting, like it's not ending because you're allowing that cycle to keep coming at you. So when you are in a heartbreak stage, remove yourself from the situation and the individual for that period of time. Put yourself in a place where you can say in 90 days, in 60 days, I don't want to have contact by email, by text, by whatever means you have that contact with that person. If you do. If you don't have the contact with that person that gave you this heartbreak, one thing you have to do is whatever you have around you that has surrounded you with that situation, the best way to do is remove everything, and that includes clothing, that includes jewelry, different things that remind you of the person who did you wrong. You know, it's everything that happens with heartbreaks is because memories stay in the air. When you have heartbreaks, there are memories there. There are things that are still ties to, and it doesn't have to be the physical body of that person. So try to see yourself in a place where whatever you do from this day forward, do not allow certain things to remind you of who has given you the heartbreak. Because we can easily go there. And if your thoughts and your thought process is allowing you to be that way, one thing you can do is simply try to find yourself being busy. Go out with your friends. Find time every week to do something that is going to entertain your mind. Our minds have to stay very, very busy and occupied when something is disappointing in our lives, because you can easily go back to that disappointment and heartbreak when you're isolated. When you're in a hole, in a place by yourself, you have to keep your mind going. You have to keep yourself busy. So that, to me, is what has worked for me. I experienced heartbreak in my first divorce. I experienced heartbreaks with different relationships I dealt with. And one thing I had to do was even block people from the phone contact, block them. It was like I have to do it because for my own sanity and peace of mind. It wasn't because I was angry and upset. At some point I was, but I wasn't, like, hating them. I just needed to find myself. And the moment I did that, I was able to find peace. I was able to release the anger. I was able to release so much stuff because now I focus on my space. My space was important to me. So hopefully it will help you. If you are experiencing that right now, I will strongly, strongly suggest that you truly take some time to say, I am going to take 60 days. Put a limit to what you're going to do for those days so it can allow you to help you get through it. Because once you do it, you'll be so comfortable doing it that you will continue to do it as a lifestyle. And you won't even think about the heartbreak after a while because you've been doing something that is helping you get through it. And, of course, read the Word. Go through the Psalms, you know, go through different chapters of the Bible and embrace yourself with the Word of God, and you'll be surprised how that will just fly by.
You know what? That is powerful. Those are powerful, powerful words, because I actually recently shared something to that extent with someone recently, and I said the more you disconnect yourself from that person, the easier it's going to become, because the more you allow that person to be in your ear, the more you allow that person to share the space, whether you continue to go out with that person if you're dating or whatever, you're going to keep opening up what hadn't been really closed. And then as you continue to disconnect yourself, you say, God, help me release him or help me release her from my heart, because they actually don't deserve my heart. You know, when you're talking to, especially when you're talking to people in their 20s and they're not quite ready to settle down, you know, someone's broken their heart. And so when you share things like that, you know, God, please release this from my heart. Release him, release her from my heart so that I can move on into the things that you've called me to, because you don't want to walk in bitterness and unforgiveness. You want to be able to walk in total healing, to be forgiving and walk in love, because I'm telling you, you want to be better, not bitter.
You know what? I want to touch on the fact that if you have children, with those people that you're dealing with, you need to try to see that when you have children, you want to also try to understand the breaking point, too, with the, you know, heartbrokenness, because people with children are still have a connection. There's still a bond there. There's still something there that you're going to have connection with because of the child. One thing you can try to do is to be very amicable as possible. Try your very best to not allow the situation of the child to interfere with how you feel, because it's going to impact the child. So if you have children involved in this situation with a heartbreak, don't take it out on the frustration of whatever this person did to you. Make sure that you are allowing yourself to do things that are going to help you, and you don't entertain the conversation of things that you don't want to basically reinvent the wheel. Like if it is someone who's an ex-husband, if it is someone who's an ex-wife, an ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, limit your conversation to what's the basics. The basic is we talk about our child, we talk about finances, we talk about this and we talk about that, and that's it. And one way that you can do that if you don't want to see the person is communicate through your emails or communicate through other channels, or even have a third party who can be there with you so that you don't have to feel alone. It's very helpful that you understand that a heartbreak does not have to become so bitter and so conflicting. You can make it easy. You can make it very amicable and pleasing as long as you keep it within the lines of what it's about. You're talking about children, you're talking about finances, and keep it moving. And that's one thing you have to practice. It's not going to come overnight, but you have to practice how to make a list of the conversation you got to have with this person, and then you keep it that way. Don't go too deep because it will cost you the heartbreak even more.
Wow. That's good stuff.
And if you have someone who is, I really need you to go to the YouTube to check some of the recordings that I have, because if you have someone who is basically manipulative and who's somebody who's mean, and you live with them or anything like that, let me tell you this. Abuse is something I experience, okay, and it's in all levels. I mean, you're talking in so many levels. when I walked out of my marriage, my previous marriage, I walked out with $0. I didn't have a savings. I wasn't making any money. I didn't have my career, my degrees, nothing. And I didn't walk out because I didn't love him. I walked out because he had an alcohol problem. So now I was with two children, didn't have nobody to really say, okay, who can support me financially, but yet I still was able to walk out of it because I had a great support system, a support system that gave me hope, a support system that gave me the ability of saying you can actually do it because you're smart, you're bright, and you can make it. So when I didn't have the funds, I found a way to have very good friends. My best friend was there for me. Family was there for me. Whatever was it that I needed, I didn't walk in that fear anymore. Yes, it is very hard if you want to walk out of a situation and you don't have any money. It's obviously difficult. But if you allow that to intimidate you and you'll rather live in that fear, you will rather live in that situation. Yes, I was abused physically and I was very abused emotionally as well. But I couldn't allow that situation to bury me. So think about it that way. Would you rather be buried or do you rather live? So you have the choice. And the choice is really yours because you will end up buried. You will end up buried emotionally. You will be buried in a physical state of mind because your body's going to start feeling stressed. Your body's going to start wearing down. So you have to understand that when someone is manipulating you because they tell you, you can't leave me because you don't have no money. I hear that too. You can't leave me because you ain't got nobody. You're going to be nobody without me. All that stuff you're going to hear. And guess what? Let them talk about it. Let them speak it. Let them say it. They can't honestly do for your life what God can do for you. They can say that because they have the upper hand. But when you walk out of a situation that's like that, because you really know God is with you, you will never look back at the situation the same again. Because God will never leave you nor forsake you. He promised you that in his word. But if you really believe it, then you can actually do it. So one thing I don't like to do, I don't condone people's relationships and say pack up and go. But one thing that I will not do is tell you that if you are in a situation that is controlling, manipulative, and is really making you feel like you cannot make it, if you don't have the strength to do it now, consider yourself buried. Because that's what the enemy is doing. He's burying you. He's sinking you down. He's making you feel powerless. He's making you feel like you cannot make it. So it's basically like you're dead. And we don't want to be dead because that's not the way God wants us to live. So I'm really hoping that I can help whoever it is on the line that's struggling with certain issues. I was able to do it without a penny. I didn't have any savings. I was probably making minimum wage back then and didn't have any education. I put myself through school. I did what I had to do because I knew that God was with me. And it's not going to be an easy step because you really feel like, you know, what can I do with myself? You don't have to start out glamorous. I mean, for real. You don't have to start glamorous. You just need to know that you have a roof and food over your head. And you just need to make sure that God is going to protect you. Because if you walk in that situation every day and you're struggling like that, God did not design you to be in that place. He never created you to be in that position. You put yourself there. So you can't blame someone else but yourself. But because you can get out of it and you can make yourself become a better person, then you have that hope today. The decision is not for you to stay in a place where you're going to die spiritually and emotionally. That is not the way God created us to be. So I thank God that he delivered me, got me through it. I'm not going to say it wasn't hard because it really was. You know, certain things that you want to do, you can't do. But I had to sacrifice all that. I had to sacrifice going to the parties. I had to sacrifice being invited to go to trips. I had to sacrifice a lot of things. I couldn't keep up with all that stuff if I was going through a situation where I needed to save myself and my children from being in a position where we no longer could be healthy. Because it's a health issue now that we're talking about spiritually, physically, mentally. You're going to suffer if you don't make the right choices. So I hope that the Spirit of God can truly help you understand that when God created you, He did not create you so that someone can honestly abuse you emotionally, physically, or mentally. He didn't create you to be in that position ever.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I tell you, this has been such a blessing. We kind of talked about a little bit of everything tonight, but we did talk about how your purpose, because you can't be somewhere where your purpose is trying to be snuffed up out of you. You can't. You can't. You can't thrive in an environment like that. So you have to come up with a plan. Limit your conversation. Limit your interaction. If the people around you, get those people out of your ear, get those people out of your front row. If they're in your front row, if they're best friends, whatever, you've got to limit the interaction.
And, you know, if people are in your ear telling you what you should be doing, those people should be giving you the solution. Period. If they're in your ear telling you what you should be doing, then they're the ones who should be giving you the solution to the problem, period. If they have a place for you to live because you need that, then they should be the ones to open the doors. Don't get in someone's ear trying to tell them how they should live their life, how they should go about it, what they need to do next, but you're not even being helpful. All you're doing is blah, 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 giving all this talk. And that's what we need to learn. When people are in your ear telling you things that you really want to do, you want to be able to get out of certain situations, but they're not willing to say, I will help you, I will do whatever it takes to do what is necessary for you to be okay, you don't need to deal with it. It's very important that when you surround yourself with people that are going to give you any advice or any kind of guidance, that they're giving you a solution, a actual solution, not just by word, but by their actions.
Mm-hmm. I agree. As I've done some volunteering, I've done self-esteem workshops with women that come from abuse situations and, you know, being able to speak life back into the ladies. And one of the things I tell them anyway is, unless you have a plan, don't put yourself in a worse situation. Don't put yourself in a situation where you're homeless and you and your children have nowhere to go. Set a plan and work your plan. You know, work your plan. Don't let Jenny all up in your ear telling you, girl, I leave him. Well, does Jenny have somewhere for you to stay? You know, set a plan up. Come up with a plan. Get with some people who, there are all kind of programs out here. Get with some people that can help you get that program off. You know, get yourself together. Get yourself off the ground. Make it happen. You know, we don't want to let
And if they need additional information on how to deal with some of these issues, they can email me. I'll be more than happy to KemleeWhiteside@gmail.com, and I'll be more than happy to really try to assist you in understanding biblically the way God created you to be and how he wants you to live, because we don't make decisions based on our emotions. We make decisions based on what God's desire for our life should be. And there's nowhere in the Bible that says that you should stick with someone because they abuse you in any level. That's not biblical at all. So that's not the way he intended to make your life. Now, one thing we have to understand is that there are a lot of people who are struggling with a lot of mental, psychological issues as well when they're behaving this kind of way. And you want to take into consideration those issues too, because they're experiencing something or had experienced something in their past where their capacity psychologically is not there. They're acting this way. They probably weren't like this all their life. Something triggered that. Something happened there to create this monster person, this individual to be that way. So you want to be very mindful when you make decisions. You don't make them abruptly just because a person emotionally is hurting you or damaging you. There's something there going on, and they need either some counseling, they need some help, they need to have somebody who needs to assist them through the process. So there's a very thin line on how to do things. You don't just do it because you're tired. Yes, you're tired. You might be overwhelmed. but you have to consider the person who's experiencing the hassle of why they're behaving this way. And it's a very difficult thing to deal with, but you don't make decisions based on emotions just for the sake of saying I'm emotionally this or that. That individual who is causing you that harm, that heartbreak, is experiencing something, and they need to be assisted, period. They really need it. So you need to be careful how you handle things, how you go about it. And like Alaya say, there's got to be a plan where you know no one is coming out harmed, damaged, and something crazy can happen.
And that's so true, so, so very true. I think we answered all of these questions, and I think we're at a place where everyone's settled.
Yes, thank you for the questions, everybody.
I don't see any more chats. I'm looking on the Facebook event thing, because a lot of times people say little things on there. I'm not seeing anything on there. I'm not seeing any more personal chats. So I think we covered everything. What are some of the final words that you'd like to leave tonight, though?
I just want to thank everyone from the bottom of my heart for tuning in, everyone who took the time out to really spend this time with us. I cannot thank you enough. I want you to know that some of us do really care. You know, I don't go to a pulpit and just preach the Word of God just for the sake of preaching it. I truly believe in transformation. That's the way I live my life. My life is based on transforming you. The gift that God has given me is to empower you to be a different person from where you were before, because I know He was able to do it for me. So I want everyone to know that if you're in a place where you need to dramatically make a turnaround in your life, it can happen and it will happen, but you need the right people. I respect everybody's ministry and what everybody does, and I truly commend who God has called in this in our lives to do various things. My focus, I can only speak for myself, is to transform you, empower you, ignite you, uplift you, give you real solutions to your real problems. I don't just speak to you for the sake of just giving you lip service. I do take my time, and the people that know me that have come through my process, they have been able to be so great and successful in the things they're doing with their lives because they truly want that transformation. So thank God for you tuning in. I thank God for whatever it is that God has designing for your life. And most importantly, continue to trust that what God has for you, it's for you. And in, you may be thinking that there's no hope because you're getting older, or you might be young and you don't see the hope. But I'm here to tell you, somebody cares. Somebody really cares, and I really do care, and I want to make sure that you're safe, that you're okay, spiritually, emotionally, and physically.
Amen, amen, amen. And share with us your website again and the information about the journey on Monday.
Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, the journey is on blab.im/Kemley Whiteside, and you can find me on Periscope with Kemley Whiteside. You can go to my Facebook. Facebook is very important with a lot of things that I do there with Instagram and all that. So if you go on Facebook, you can stay tuned in to all the things that I'm doing. Instagram, Twitter, everything with my name. If you just Google my name, Kemley Whiteside, you'll see everything pop up. So you'll be able to connect with me any way possible. And feel free to submit any emails if you have questions, comments. For bookings, if you want me to come out to an event that you're having, whether it's a seminar, a conference, a speaking engagement, to preach at your church or speak at any kind of event, feel free to go to my website at kemleywhiteside.com/booking. You'll be able to go there for the booking information, and the dates are there available on my website of all the dates that I am not available. I'm very busy, and I praise God for the opportunity of keeping me busy, but I want to stay busy. So feel free to continue to follow me, and I'll be able to be wherever you need me to be so that I can empower you and uplift you, but most importantly, transform your life.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, I thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule and joining us tonight on Friday Inspire. You definitely enlightened us. You definitely empowered us. And you're definitely making an impact for the kingdom of God, helping transform lives. And I thank you for your obedience.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you so much, Alea, and for everybody. Have a blessed night. May the Lord continue to bless each of you to fulfill your purpose.
Amen, amen. Thanks again. You guys, we had another wonderful show. I tell you, Pastor Kimley has been such a blessing, and the topic tonight was empowering, igniting, and fulfilling your purpose. As I said last night, I said to people, you are already qualified to be who you are now, but you're even qualified to be the person that God has called you to be. What is it in you that's burning, that has that burning desire to do the greater that he's already placed on the inside of you? Whatever it is, understand that you were made in his image. He's qualified you to get it done. So let's do it. No more sitting back, talking about shoulda, coulda, woulda. No more delays, no more procrastination. It's time to live in the greatness now. Tune in each and every week with us here on Friday and Spawn Tuesdays at 8 Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are running a special for the month of March. If you want to share your business, your services, we are running a special for $25 for the entire month. We will share your information about your company on Friday Inspire. We'll do that weekly as well as on our different posts of social media. We will let all of the people know about your business, your brand, what you're doing. Tonight's show was sponsored by Third Heaven Sound, where it's not just music, it's a sound. Alexandra Townsend, Evangelist Townsend, she is the author of Experiencing the Greatness of God from the Spiritual Realm. Awesome, awesome woman of God, awesome book, talking about how God delivered her son from alcoholism, for over a decade of addiction to alcoholism, and how God took him to the next level in his life and how he's empowered to help others. It's also brought to you by Print Tara. Print Tara will take care of your printing needs. They do photography. They do videography. They're here for you to take care of your business needs. And then also Unique Expression by Design. They are your one-stop shop to take care of all of your business custom or personal needs. And they can take care of your mugs, your pens, your T-shirts, whatever it is that you need on that side as well. They're here to customize a package just for you to meet your budget. Thank you so much for tuning in on Friday Inspire. On Friday Inspire Online, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Periscope. We're out there everywhere. Also, the books are available on Amazon. On Friday Inspire is available as a paperback, an ebook, and an audiobook. Support my ministry. If you like the word that God is bringing through the different people, please support us. We have PayPal on FridayInspire@gmail.com, and we do send you an ebook for any size donation into the ministry because we're here to empower, uplift, and push you into your purpose. I'm the Purpose Midwife, Ms. On Friday Inspire. I don't birth babies, I birth purpose. Tune in each and every week. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I love you. Have a blessed and powerful week. You are on fire to do what God has called you to do. Thank you again, and have a blessed night. Thank you.